And we will read verse 16 and 17. It says, when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed of the devils, and brought many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Since the Sermon on the Mount, which you well know is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, since he completed that sermon, just in chapter 8 alone, in the first several verses here, he's healed a leper. He healed the centurion's servant, which was likely a child. He did that from a distance. He just spoke that and it took place. And then last week we saw in verse 14 and 15 where he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And all of this is taking place in Capernaum. And now, as you can imagine, as the word begins to spread throughout that region, that he has the power to do all of this, people are beginning to bring their sick, the possessed, of demons, the loved ones that are demon possessed. They're beginning to bring them. They're beginning to flood. And the scripture says there in verse 16 that many, they brought many. There was multitudes to Jesus to get them relieved of whatever infirmities they be, whether they be spiritual, like demons, or whether they be a disease or sickness. And so, as you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see that healing was an everyday part of Jesus' life. Everywhere he went, there was he was casting out demons, giving sight to the blind, causing the dumb to speak, or healing of palsy or leprosy or whatever. He was constantly delivering people. And one reason for that is just simply because that's who Jesus is. That's his heart. He's compassionate. He's merciful and towards mankind, and so he wants to relieve suffering. Sickness and suffering was really never a part of God's plan for man. It's all just a result of the fall. It's a result of what happened in the garden, and it's become a part of man's life and will continue to be a part of man's life until God redeems this whole world. But Jesus along the way is just doing what he can, when he can, to relieve people of these sicknesses and these infirmities that this world holds for them. He's doing it. He's healing people physically. And he's healing people spiritually by saving them and by, again, casting out demons. He's doing all of that because it's in his nature. The second reason, perhaps, that he was doing all of this along the way is in a sense, as a preview to his coming kingdom. There's coming a day we know that he's going to establish his kingdom here on earth, and in that kingdom there will be no sin, there will not be sickness or disease or demon possession, infirmity of any kind, and he's just given a glimpse of that. Just like if you remember when he took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain and he was transfigured before them. They got a glimpse of the divine glory of the Lord. They just got a peek into what that would be like. And in the very same way, we're getting a peek as you see Jesus, what he did here on earth. We're getting a glimpse, if you will, of his eternal glory, what the kingdom will be like, a glimpse of how things will be, because by his healing and his casting out demons and giving sight to the blind and all of these things is exactly the way the kingdom will be. In fact, it'll be totally banished. None of those things will be in his kingdom. And so keep in mind that he's doing that, again, to an extent as a preview. But it's just a preview. It's just a glimpse. Because as you know, as we look around, as now we're 2,100 years later, we still have the infirmities, we still have the disease, we still have the sickness and death and all of these things. We see it every day here on earth. Why? Because sin is still existing here on earth. And until that's taken care of, we'll always see it. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we're delivered from the penalty of sin in that we'll never be separated from God. It'll never happen. But we're not delivered from the presence of sin. We still live in a world where sin exists. And as long as we are here and we haven't gone to heaven, we're going to experience, we're going to see, and perhaps even partake of diseases and sickness and these sort of things. And it's just going to be that way till we go to heaven. The total fulfillment of the Lord's redeeming work still lays ahead for you and I. He died for our sins, yes, but we still can fall into sin because we're here on this earth. He conquered death, yes, but we're still going to die, right? Physically. He overcame sickness and disease. There's no question about that. But men are still going to suffer them as long as they're still on earth. And so all of this is still a part of the earthly experience. And it's not going to cease to be a part of our earthly experience until the day that either we go to heaven to be with him or he establishes his kingdom here on earth, whichever comes first. It all lies ahead of us, okay? We should never buy into these false ideas that Christians don't have to experience sickness or disease if they have enough faith. Folks, that's not true. That's not true. Can Jesus heal? Absolutely. He can still heal. But it's up to him and his sovereign will whether he does heal or not. Okay? It's not up to you and I. We can't say who's going to be sick and who's not going to be sick just based upon our faith. To say that sickness can be avoided by faith would be the same as saying that death can be avoided by faith. And we know we can't avoid death by faith, and neither can we sickness, okay? And so Jesus has overcome sickness, he's overcome death, but we will not overcome it until we get into eternity, and that still lies ahead for us, okay? And so let me ask you to do this. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. In fact, I think Roy's got it right up there. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. I forgot I gave it to Roy. But notice this verse right here. He says, "For we know that the whole creation," he's talking about the world around us, okay, "groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." What's it saying? All the upheaval we see on this earth, through nature, disasters, whatever, that's all the result of the groaning of creation. The travailing, if you will, of this world under the curse of sin. Whether it be from earthquakes to wildfires, from tsunamis to drought, it's all a result of a fallen world in this continual struggle in an unredeemed earth that we live on, okay? Now let's look at verse 23. It goes on to say, "And not only they," not only this creation, "but ourselves also, which had the first fruits of the Spirit," in other words, we that are saved, okay? "Even we ourselves groan, and within ourselves waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." What's it saying there? That us, the created, the born-again believers that belong to God, we too groan and travail. We too have this conflict, this struggle going on in this unredeemed body. And just as creation groans and travails, so we as His creatures groan and travail. Disease is a part of that. Sickness is a part of that, and of course, death is a part of that. From disease to death to heartache to heart attack, all of these things are the experience of life here on earth in an unredeemed creation, in an unredeemed body, okay? And so there's a struggle to be free, and we'll never be free as long as we're living in this body on this earth. The freedom comes when we exit this body and go to be with the Lord, or when the Lord comes back and establishes kingdom here on earth. And in that case, it would be a redeemed earth, because the old heaven and earth will pass away, and there will be a new heaven and earth, okay? So until then, we groan, folks. And I don't know about you, and Jerry's grown this week. He's got strep, okay? We've got this young man that died. Scott died this last week at 59. That's the groaning. You see, all of this is taking place. We see the upheaval across the world and all of these things, from drought to tsunami, all of the conflicts, all of this. It's the groaning, folks, in an unredeemed world, okay? So, just as we see in this text, Jesus went about healing and casting out evil spirits, restoring people physically and spiritually. That's giving us a peek, if you will, or a glimpse into what the kingdom's going to be like where those things have been banished, okay? So, with that, you would think the people of Jesus' time that were flocking to him, you would think that seeing Jesus heal and listening to his teaching and all of this would cause people to, it would answer the question, who is Jesus and what can he do? The answer would be, he's the Son of God and he can do anything he wants. He has the power to do all these things. However, what we're going to see as we move on through the Gospels, and we've all already read it before, that's not what happened. The multitudes flocked to him, yes, and many were healed, and they all heard his teaching and all this, but yet those same people turned away from him. Ultimately, the Jews, his own people, the Bible says in John 1:11, he came into his own received him not. Ultimately, they're the ones that have him crucified. It just shows the darkness, folks, of the darkness of and the sinfulness of man's heart. It takes more than miracles. It takes more than healings and casting out devils to stir a person to faith. The heart has to be pricked by the Holy Spirit. It has to be stripped of all self-sufficiency, all self-righteousness, and it has to get to a bare point where it just sees that there's only one thing that can redeem it, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it's hard to imagine that the multitudes could see all those displays of power, hear all of that great teaching, and still reject him. It's hard to imagine, right? But how long did you do so? I did till I was 21. But by God's grace, it happened then. But yeah, it shouldn't be shocking, because we ourselves did. Today, we really have more before us than those people in Jesus' time had before them. We've got all of his teachings, all of his miracles, and the resurrection, which was the explanation point of his life, saying, I am the Son of God. I've overcome everything. We have all of that in front of us. And yet, many people still reject him, okay? And so with all of those things, it just reveals again this, the hardness of man's heart. Folks, we're saved tonight. If we're here, I hope you're saved. If you're saved tonight, just thank God that his Holy Spirit dealt with your heart, because you could have just as easily, and I could have just as easily, remained hard to the gospel like many people continue to do today. And we're not, because of the grace of God. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither comes to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. What it amounts to is man loves his sin, just as we did. We love our sin, and Jesus is, to turn to Jesus would mean we'd have to turn from our sin. And that's just more than some people are willing to do. And that's why the Bible says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Folks, the mere fact that you and I were able to turn from our sins and turn to Jesus for salvation is not an accomplishment of our own, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit that God graciously gave us and caused us to be saved. Never take that for granted, okay? Appreciate you guys. We'll be looking at the next time we're together. We'll take up verse 18 and see what happens from there, okay? Glad you were here tonight. I hope you have a good remainder of the week. Pray, folks. Pray for rain. I didn't mention that during our prayer time, but boy, we sure need some rain. It comes a cloud and makes you think it's going to happen, and it just don't happen. We'll just have to trust God to bring that. Okay, let's stand, be dismissed.